is the fruit of joy. The fruit of joy. If you look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23 with me, it says, let's say it together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So these fruit, they are not the fruits of the Spirit. They are the fruit of the Spirit. And they are to be developed in our human spirit, the regenerated nature, our born-again nature. Once you're born again, you're connected to Christ. He's the true vine. You're a branch of that vine. And the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, it says that the wine is in the cluster. I wanted that cluster of grapes there because the wine is in the cluster. You and I, we would think, well, the wine is in the bottle. But God said the wine is in the cluster. So what that means is that the cluster represents unity and togetherness. As we stay unified with the Spirit, as we stay unified with one another, then we develop this wonderful fruit that's in our lives. Amen. If you stay in the cluster, the wine will flow. If you get out of the bunch, it's like Lester Sumrall used to say, the first banana that leaves the bunch is the first banana that gets eaten. So you'll understand that as we go through this study tonight. But once you're born again and you get connected to Christ, you are supposed to produce the fruit, because the same sap that's in the vine, the same nature that's in the vine, the same power, the same anointing that's in the vine, it comes to reside in you once you're born again. Christ is the true vine, and we are the branches, and it's the branch that produces that cluster. Amen. And we'd be connected with God and connected with one another. These are not the fruit of the Holy Spirit that the Holy Spirit is trying to develop. These are characteristics of the Holy Spirit. They are fruit that we are to develop, and they are the fruit that you and I, we are to bear. These fruit all represent the characteristics of God: love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there's no law. The first three, love, joy, and peace, they're toward God. The love of God, the joy of the Lord, the peace of God that passeth all understanding, long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness, they are fruit that we bear toward our fellow men. And then the last three, faith, meekness, and temperance, they are fruit that are internal to us, to our development. Faithfulness, that we're full of faith, hallelujah. We're faithful to the things of God. And faith, meekness, we're meekness. We just have a spirit of humility about us, and faith, meekness, temperance, or self-control. So those are inward fruit. So my subject tonight is the fruit of joy. I want to show you some aspects of joy and how to obtain this great thing from God called joy. Let us pray. Father, we love you and praise you. Thank you for the Word of God. It's a light. It's a lamp. And Lord, we study it to be conformed to the image of Christ, that we may bear fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And from these, Lord, we just thank you that you'll build your kingdom, because we'll be the light, we'll be the preservative that we should be in this dark, sinful world. You left your church to be that light. Bless us tonight. And everybody said in Jesus' name, amen. The one thing that characterizes a Christian is love. And next to the quality of love is joy. Joy is like the peace of God. The world cannot give it to you, and the world cannot take it away. Joy is inside of you, and people can do anything they want to you, but they cannot take your joy away, because God put it there, and if it's there, it's just there, and it's just that simple. But if you let people, and if you get to looking at all the natural circumstances and you forget your connection with God, then this thing called joy can elude you. But joy is in the heart of all believers, and it's one of the most precious aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, because joy is something that characterizes us. And no matter what the circumstances of life, you can have joy. Galatians 5:22 tells us that the fruit of the Spirit is love, and next to that is joy. So joy is the second expression of the fruit of the Spirit. All the fruit has the taste of love. I gave you a handout. You were given that as you came in. It shows the fruit of the Spirit. And there are nine fruit of the Spirit, and they all taste of love. This is worth memorizing right here. This is worth coming to church for, what I'm fixing to give you. Love is the juice that flows to all the other fruit. Without love, you can't have any of this, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. That's because we have been born again of the Spirit, and the blood has washed us and cleansed us and changed us from nature to grace. Joy is love with happiness. Joy is love with happiness. Peace is love in, let me start over. Joy is love with happiness, okay? Peace is love in total relaxation. Long-suffering is joy under fiery trials. Is love under fiery trials. Let me get this thing straight in a minute. My mind is going out there somewhere. But gentleness is love when the roughness is gone. Every one of these fruit tastes of love. Goodness is love that is shown toward others. Faith is love in trusting obedience. Did I trust God? I trust you. It is love in trusting obedience. Meekness is love with humility. And temperance is love with self-control. So all of these fruit, they like that cluster. The wine is in the cluster. And they all flow out of love. And they flow out of unity also, because where there's unity, God commands the blessing. So point number one, where do we get this joy that I'm talking about? Well, David was a man after God's own heart, and he tells us this in Psalms 43:4. He said, then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. That is right there. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. I will go to God's altar. I will come to the temple. I will go to the church, and I will get into the altar. And when I do that, I'm going to give praise unto God, because he is my exceeding joy. Hallelujah. That's where you find the exceeding joy, is wherever you make that altar, whether it's in your home, whether it's in your automobile, no matter where you are, at work, in the marketplace, if you'll make an altar there, you will find God's joy. So joy begins when we pray to God. You can pray anywhere. Joy begins when we have a right relationship with God. Joy begins when we have a knowledge of God. So many people pray, oh God, give me more faith. I can tell you how to get more faith. Get to know more about God. The more you know of God, the more your faith will rise. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. But faith is knowledge. Faith is knowledge of God. Faith is knowledge of what God will do for you and what God will do through you. Joy begins when we have a knowledge of God. Joy begins when we praise God. And Jesus is the source of our joy. We are connected to Jesus, and we are to remember that he's the true vine and that we are the branches. And we have his joy. I think one of the scriptures that changed my life was John 15:11. We'll see it later, but put John 15:11 up there. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. I've told it many times, and it's worth repeating. When I saw that scripture in the Bible, I said, Lord, I receive your joy. And from that moment to this moment, I've had it. Now, I've been through some hard places, but I've still had that joy, because it came as a revelation from the Lord to me that Jesus wanted his joy to remain in me, because I'm connected. He wants his joy to remain in you because you're connected to the true vine. And he says, I want your joy to be full. So the first thing that we are to do is to love God. And when we express our love to God, it's just natural that joy follows that love. So it's remarkable that joy is the second fruit of the Spirit that's given. First, there's love. We're to love God. And when we do, it's just natural for joy to follow. Joy is a spiritual juice. It's the spiritual juice in a Christian's life. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you don't have joy, then you are a juiceless, useless Christian. You got to have this thing I'm talking about. And it comes from God. And you can have it. I mean, even when your heart is aching, when it's breaking, anyone can sing when the sun is shining bright. But you can have a song in your heart at night. I think probably more than the preaching that I heard, it was the songs that my mother and dad sang that really, when I came to the Lord and I began to see the scriptures, that those songs just opened up a reservoir of knowledge to me. They were singing a song Sunday night, "It Is No Secret What God Can Do." And it amazed me that I remembered that song. "There is no night, for in his light you never walk alone. Always feel at home, no matter where you may roam. There is no power can conquer you when God is on your side. Just take him at his promise. Don't run away and hide. It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do." And those things are just as natural a part of me as my arms and my legs. And I was shocked that I remembered that thing precisely. I said, let me look at the words in that. But see, that's what being in church, and that's what being reared in a Christian home, and that's what being in an environment where there are people that love God, that's what that will do to you. So joy is a spiritual force. Now, that there are people that claim to have joy. They're Christians, and they claim to have it, but they don't have it. But I'm here to tell you, you can have it and how to get it tonight. Because, see, when you love God and when you begin to praise God, joy, it just follows. Hallelujah. Learn to be a praiser. If you'll just start praising God, joy will start flowing like a river in your life. God inhabits the praises of his people, and in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. Look at Psalm 16 and 11. Look at what the psalmist said. "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Look, "in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." So this thing that I'm talking about, it resides in God, and you can tap into it just by setting your human will to know God, to praise God. Look at Romans 14 and 17. What is this kingdom? Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." What is the kingdom? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It is righteousness. It is peace. And look at that. It's joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So joy in the Holy Ghost means this is a fruit that's developed in your life as you abide in the true vine. See, God puts his kingdom within us. And his kingdom consists of three things: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That word righteousness means that you have a right standing with God. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all sin. God doesn't look at you the way he looks at the world. He looks and he sees that you are the very righteousness of God. It would do a lot of people in the church a well of good to realize that God doesn't see you like he sees the world. He sees you as a child that's been washed in the blood. We are children of God by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. The world out there, they are not the children of God. They're the offspring of Adam. The only way you can ever become a child of God is to be born again. Jesus told that group of Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil." Now, if you want God to be your father, you got to be born again. Oh, the world will tell you otherwise, but let's go back to what the Bible says. The Bible says we are the children of God by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. When you have a healthy relationship with Jesus Christ, it's just natural that you're going to have joy. You might be going through some hard things, some things that will break your heart. How many have ever been there? I have. I've had a lot of that since I got saved. But that is not what we base this characteristic and this fruit of the Spirit upon is our circumstances. We base it upon our relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So you can have that song in your heart in the midnight hour. Yeah, anybody can sing when the sun is shining bright. But you can have a song in your heart at night. Those old songs, they're just so scriptural. Amen. Praise God. Praise Him, because when you got saved, He put a new song in your heart. And that song causes you to sing and rejoice. Every night when I go to bed, I'm singing something. I don't even sing it out loud. But I wake up in the middle of the night, guess what? I got a song. And I mean, you don't even have to be a musician to do this. God said, I'll put a song in your heart. But isn't it wonderful? I picked up my guitar just yesterday. Everybody was gone out of the house, just me, so I knew I wouldn't be bothering anybody. I don't play it much. But I picked that old song, It Is No Secret What God Can Do. And I sang that thing to the Lord. And I said, thank you so much, Lord, for my heritage. Thank you that you put me in a Christian home, that I grew up under the power of Pentecost. And God, that you gave me a heritage, a treasure that is so rich. And you need to just thank God if you have a heritage like that. And if you don't, guess what? You can be the first one in your family that starts such a heritage. Go on and praise God. Hallelujah. See, joy is as contagious as the measles. And when you have a real, genuine, divine experience with God, joy is what overflows. Secondly, joy pours over on others. See, when you get this thing called joy, it will pour over on others. You know, some people, they look better going than they do coming. And you met people like that? How would you like for people to say, you know, when they come into my presence, there's a presence about them. There's a joy that they leave. There's a strength that they bring. No matter where you meet them, they're always the same, and there's a strength inside of them. And it strengthens me by just being around that person. That thing, my friend, is called joy, and it's as contagious as the measles. But joy, your joy, pours over on others. Nehemiah, I was in a little country church one night, and we went to our church. We went to another church. It was one of them that where I had preached revivals, and we were just looking to go to church, man. I mean, you know, the church let out early, and we just wanted to go on to church. Like I said, some people come to church leaving. I leave church coming back. And we were looking for a place to go worship. And we went in there, and they said, how about testify? And I stood up, and I cheated. I did. I said, you know, the Lord has given me great joy. I said, Nehemiah said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I said, Jeremiah said, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I said, Isaiah said, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. I said, Peter said, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Paul said, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. I said, but I like what Jesus said. Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. I said, praise God, I've got the joy of the Lord, and I just come to announce what Jesus has done for me, and the glory of God fell in that place from a testimony that night. Hallelujah. See, you can have this thing. It's not something you're trying to manufacture. It's something that God gives to His children. He gives it to every one of us. But you've got to nurture it. You've got to feed it. Amen. And those scriptures, they're just wonderful. And see, as you read the Bible, the Holy Ghost will, and you memorize scripture, the Holy Ghost will pull those things up. And you might be going through something that's breaking your heart. But guess what? When those, that well of living water, Isaiah said, therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Now think about being in a dry, barren place. Everything in your life, and we all face those moments, it looks like it's just flipped upside down. And you wish that you could get this fixed and this fixed and this fixed. And all of a sudden you just stop and you reach down. You say, well, Lord, I've got the spiritual bucket called joy, and I'm just going to reach down into the well of salvation, and I'm going to pull up a bucket full of joy. See, this thing is available to every Christian. It's not something that super saints walk in. I said it earlier in the introduction to this series. Spiritual gifts do not prove your spirituality. It is the fruit that you develop, the fruit of the Spirit, that proves how spiritual you are. A gift is a gift. I mean, if you can preach, you didn't do a thing to earn that. God just gave you a gift. You can enhance it by studying, but you can go to school, but you cannot preach unless you get anointed. Now, we got a lot of politicians preaching a lot of stuff. We got a lot of preachers in pulpits, but they don't give you a lift. See, a preacher, he should always have something inside of him that gives you a lift. And if you don't go away lifted, then guess what? That man's not plugged in. But if he's plugged in, you're going to get plugged in with him. That's real Pentecostal preaching. Like Sunday morning, I got plugged in. And all of a sudden, I'm preaching, and you're praising God. And you're pulling the preach out of me, and I'm preaching and pulling the praise out of you. And all of a sudden, we're flowing together in the Holy Ghost like a rushing, mighty river. Go and praise God. Hallelujah. That's what Pentecost is. That's why we need the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit in the church. Hallelujah. God's kingdom is within the heart. And Jesus said it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Oh God, show me thy will. Oh God, show me thy will. So many people wonder what God's will is. It's to abide in the true vine. It's to develop the fruit, and it's to be obedient. And if you look at those fruit, I showed you that those fruit all flow out of love. And how love is manifest in all of those fruits. Hallelujah. So if God's kingdom is within your heart, then the Father, he gave you the kingdom. And part of that kingdom is joy. Joy unspeakable. Now, when we get saved, we get the joy of salvation. Let's just walk through what I've been preaching. The deeper walk, okay? That's what we preached recently, a series on that. When we get saved, we get the joy of salvation. When we get sanctified and all the chains and bondages are broken off of our life, we get the joy of deliverance. Hallelujah. Now, when we get filled with the Holy Ghost, you get this thing called joy unspeakable that's full of glory. You're walking in the glory. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we begin this walk where we seek to please God. We're human. We're in the flesh. We're going to make mistakes. There's a real devil. But guess what? There are real problems. But guess what? God is real. His kingdom's within us. And we can walk right through the storm because we have the Prince of Peace inside of us. And that's what produces that joy. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, you get this thing I'm talking about. Jesus said, I will put an internal, eternal will of salvation within you. And so you can never have joy without a right relationship with Jesus. When you get out of sync with Jesus, guess what? You just got out of sync with your joy. But if you'll keep a right relationship with Jesus, and you know what? Many times that means keeping a right relationship with others. If you look at that fruit called love, joy, long suffering. I say it like this: long suffering. Amen. Long suffering is joy, is peace, is love, rather, in a fiery trial. You're being tried. You're being tested. Somebody has done you wrong. And most people, they think, oh, they did that. Well, maybe God's just doing it. Maybe there's something inside of you that God is trying to just, you know, take and remove it. It's like Michelangelo. He was beating this rock one day, and he was just hammering away on this rock, just beating this great painter and sculptor, Michelangelo. And somebody came by and said, what in the world are you doing beating on that piece of rock? He said, there's an angel inside, and I'm letting them out. Hallelujah. Maybe there's something that God is trying to get rid of, some roughness in my life, and he's just hammering away, and he's using that person to get me to the place that he wants to get me to. Why does he do that to you and why does he do that to me? Because he's a loving father. His kingdom's within, his righteousness, his peace, and his joy in the Holy Ghost. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Go and praise God that he's for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus is a great, great Savior. See, the world doesn't know the type of joy that I'm talking about. It knows the counterfeit. The world knows the hee-hee, but it doesn't know the ha-ha. And see, the only way you can get a ha-ha is in your spirit. Ha-ha-ha-ha. The world said hee-hee-hee-hee. No, it's got to come from your spirit. Ha. Oh, God, thank you. It's the raw of God. It's the breath of the Spirit. It's no matter what you're going through, you know that you're more than a conqueror. You know that God, whatsoever is born of God, overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. My faith is in Jesus. He will always cause me to triumph. Hallelujah. Always. No weapon formed against you can ever prosper. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And that standard that he lifts is the power of the Spirit. It's the power of Christ because you're connected to the true vine. And it's not something you're trying to manufacture. It's just who you are. It's not something you're trying to be. It's just who you are. And you got to read this book and love reading it. You know, I was watching my wife today, and I wondered, what causes you to sit around and read your Bible the way you do? I've never browbeat her. I've never said, you need to read your Bible. I've never said that. When our children were coming up, we would get in there, and we would take turns reading the Bible. I saw to it that my children had read the Bible through. We'd take turns reading it. And long about 2005, it wasn't even my idea. It was my wife's idea. She said, Jerry, I think we need to order these Bible reading guides. How many enjoy your Bible reading guide? I do. I get one every year. And I use it to read my Bible through. That was something she came up with. But I was looking at her and saying, what in the world causes that woman to sit around and take time during the day to read her Bible? I could never force anybody to do that. You can't force him. I can't force him. You know what it is? It's getting connected to where you want to hear something from God. And that is something. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And that is something that comes from the Holy Ghost. That is something that is produced out of these fruit I'm talking about. Love, joy, peace. I want that love of God. I want that joy of the Lord. I want that peace. When it comes to others, I want to be long-suffering. I want to show gentleness. I want to show the goodness. I want to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And that's what Jesus is the Word. And so as we stay connected, we get more and more and more of this. Hallelujah. When someone gets saved, there's joy in the camp. Amen. Now, point number three, when someone gets saved, there's joy on earth and joy in heaven. Salvation brings joy. It brings it to the earth. Salvation brings joy to heaven. Let me give you some scripture. Luke 15:7. Jesus said, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven. Look at that. Over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So joy brings, salvation brings joy to heaven. And it also brings rejoicing to heaven when someone is saved. Look at Luke 15:10. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Heaven takes notice of you. Heaven takes notice. When one person gets saved, more than 99 just people that don't need repentance. See, heaven is so observant of earth that when one sinner gets saved, all of heaven rejoices with joy and it rejoices. Hallelujah. And the Bible says God rejoices over us with singing. That's how much God in heaven, he looks at us. And he, if God rejoices over us with singing, shouldn't we sing back to him? Shouldn't we tell him how much we love him? Shouldn't we tell him how much we appreciate that we're in his kingdom? See, this thing, it just flows and keeps on flowing as you realize what this great substance called joy is. So when you got saved, heaven took notice of it. It is faith that brings joy. And the baptism of joy is called joy unspeakable that's full of glory. It's unspeakable. In other words, it's without definition. I'm trying to explain it to you, but I really can't. It's joy unspeakable. It's unexplainable that how God could take a sinner who is separated from God, bridge the gap through Calvary's blood, bring you into relationship, write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and then call you his child. That's joy unspeakable. You can't even describe it. Thank God for the scriptures. Amen. See, faith brings this type of joy. That means joy that you don't know where it came from, but you say, I got it. I got it. I got it. I'm full of joy. I'm full of God. I could never explain in human terms my salvation experience, and neither can you to others. You cannot tell others what it meant when your burdens were rolled away and you were saved. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. God gave me a little song. I was lost on life's stormy sea. I was sinking, and you lifted me. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and mercy. I was lost in darkness, but you showed me the way. I was held in bondage, but all I had to say was coming to my heart. Wash my sins away. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Go on and praise him. Is that your testimony tonight? I'm saved, and I'm thankful, and I'm glad to be saved. Hallelujah. Look at 1 Peter 1 and 8. Whom having not seen, ye love. In whom, though you now see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. See, the world can't understand why we want to go to church. They cannot understand why you want to come to the house of God. They don't understand this joy unspeakable that's full of glory. What you're saying when you start at the church is, I'm not obligated to do this. I'm doing this. I'm going to church because he's going to be there. People of like precious faith are going to be there. And I'm going to rejoice with them. And I'm going to find joy unspeakable that's full of glory. Because I'm going to be with people. Somebody told me the other day. They said, Pastor, you don't know what Sunday means to me. They said, it's the only time in my entire week that I feel that I have a place of rest and I have a refuge. And that's what church means to me, Pastor. Maybe it's just your smile. Maybe it's just your touch. Maybe it's just your encouragement that touches a person like that. And they say, I want to go back because I want to experience that type of joy. It's unspeakable. It's full of glory. My whole week seems like everything's in chaos. But when I get to the house of God, I find a place of rest. I find joy unspeakable, Pastor, full of glory. Hallelujah. Go on and praise him. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See, David, he was a man of praise. And David, he was a man that had great joy. In the 23rd Psalm, he said, Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. The only way you can have a cup that's running over with the anointing is to be full of joy. David says, I'm anointed. I've got this joy, and I'm just going to praise God for it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Hallelujah. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with string instruments and organ. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. When you breathe in, you ought to breathe out praise. When you inhale, you ought to exhale praise. You got breath, haven't you? Go on and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Woo! That's joy unspeakable. That's full of glory right there. Hallelujah. Oh, I don't feel all that, Pastor. You just keep on praising Him. I guarantee you, you'll be praying pretty soon. That wheel in the wheel, it'll crank over. And you'll just start feeling this wonderful thing called joy. Number four, what is the meaning of joy? What is the meaning of joy? Well, joy is a condition. It is a state of the soul when your soul is right with God. That's what joy really is. It's a condition of your heart. Hallelujah. Joy is not happiness, but joy produces happiness. You cannot have happiness without joy. You can try to, but it takes joy to produce happiness. Amen. I know that. I've searched the world over. I mean, I've been all over this world. And some places I've been in, I don't want to tell anybody about. I'm so glad you can't go open my closet door and look inside. It's all under the blood. Hallelujah. You know, if the world could satisfy it, praise God, I would have been satisfied. But I couldn't get satisfied until I found Jesus. And He satisfied the longing in my soul. And now the only thing I'm satisfied with is the fact I've never been satisfied. There's so much more to God. There's so much more that we haven't tapped into, that I've been on a quest since I got saved. Lord, show me more. Lord, entrust me with more. Oh, God, help me. Fill me, Lord, so I can help others. Is that your prayer? It should be. Go on and ask the Lord, and He'll give it to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Joy is affected by what one is and not by what one has. I've had rich people that have told me, I'm so unhappy. I'm just so unhappy. And I talk to them about Jesus. I talk to everybody about Jesus. Amen. I'll tell the dog about Jesus. I will. Hallelujah. Now, I didn't even have to tell the dog about Jesus, be honest with you. When I got saved, that dog knew. That's something different about that man right there. Even the dog knew it. Hallelujah. See, when you get the goods, everybody will know it. And everything around you will know it. Amen. Isn't God great? Hallelujah. So, if joy could be affected by what one had, then we wouldn't need Jesus. But if we could ever get the Christian world to realize this one thing, that joy comes from Jesus, then we could change the world. Joy is affected by what you are and who you are and whose you are, and not by what you have. Look at Matthew 6:33. This is one of my, I call them my Gibraltar scriptures. This is a scripture that really was one of those that when I saw it, so you can read the word and you can gloss over it, but you won't get what I'm talking about by just a cursive reading. These things, Jesus said, have I, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That's a right standing with God. Keep your relationship right with God. Seek you first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things, all the things that the world is seeking after, they shall be added unto you. You don't really have to seek things. You seek Him. And once you seek Him, whatever His purpose for your life, if you will walk in the will of God, you will find it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. See, you can have a lot of things and not have joy. And you can say, man, if I had that, it would make me so happy. And then you get it, and you say, I'm so glad I didn't get that. I went to a class, a meeting of the class of 64 the other day, and it was some people there, and I didn't tell my wife this, but my third grade girlfriend was sitting across the table from me.
And she married one of my buddies. And I looked over there, I said, man, I'm so glad he got her and I didn't. Amen. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Look, amen. You've heard Pastor Ricky's story on that. Hallelujah. Amen. One of these days she's going to bring a frying pan with her and take care of him. Amen. But you can have a lot of things and not have joy. But joy comes from an experience with God and knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. Amen. You can have problems, but you can still have joy. Christ is in you, and you're in Christ. And His joy is in you. And that relationship exists so your joy can be full. Amen. Number six, how do we get the manifestation of joy? Now, I gave you that handout, but how do I get this thing manifest in my life? I'm going to give you just a few little short things here. To have the manifestation of joy, you must live according to the will of God. That's the most important thing. You cannot be living outside of God's will and have this joy that I'm talking about. It is working in the will of God and living in the will of God that brings joy unspeakable, is full of glory. If God wants you to do something, do it, and it will bring great joy to your life. Whatever God says, like Jesus when he was at the wedding of Cana of Galilee, and Jesus' mother told him, says, whatever Jesus says, do it. Well, that's a word for all of us. Whatever Jesus tells you to do, do it, and it will bring joy because you'll be in the will of God. Number two, you get joy by recognizing your completeness in Jesus Christ. When you know who you are in Jesus Christ, it will bring joy to your life. Knowing Jesus and knowing who you are in Jesus, it brings joy. The Apostle John said, that which we have seen and heard, we are declaring it unto you. He's talking about Jesus, knowing Jesus. Look at 1 John 1:4. And these things write we unto you. Why, John? That your joy might be full. Number three, you get joy by praising God, because God inhabits the praises of his people. And in his presence, there is fullness of joy. I put this up early. Look at Psalm 16 and 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. In God's presence, that's the fullness of joy. And that's why that lady told me, it almost broke my heart, that all week long, Pastor, my life is in turmoil. All week long, I have no peace. But when I come to church, I love Sunday. I love coming to the house of God because I find that peace. Well, that's the answer. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. And guess what? We can do something to help that in this saint's life, but it's him that does the deep work. But he uses people also. Amen. So this joy that we're talking about is a fruit of the Spirit. I'm giving you the secrets to joy right now. I'm giving you secrets that take you a lifetime to dig out. Now, the joy that we're talking about, it belongs to. Number four, you get joy by being thankful. It has been said that the secret to joy is to count your blessings while everybody else is adding up their troubles. Count your blessings. I hear so many people that and they have no victory, and they have no real prayer life, and they're always burdened down no matter what. And the reason for that is because they don't count their blessings. They don't thank God for what they already have. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. I believe that's it. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Don't thank God for everything. Thank God in everything. That's a big difference. I mean, I'm not going to thank God, you know, for a tragedy. He'll work it good. He can work a good out of it. But, you know, I thank God for health. I don't thank God for sickness. Amen. I thank God for
for victory. Not that I'm the victim somewhere. I thank God because I know he's going to bring me through it. And I know I have a substance and a power. And I know I've got to have this thing called joy, this second fruit, because it's my strength. And without that joy, I don't have the spiritual strength or the intestinal fortitude in my spirit that I need. Hallelujah. Joy is a wonderful, wonderful thing from God. Number five, you get joy from fellowship with the body of Christ. Aren't you glad you came to church tonight? Listen to what John said. 1 John 1 and 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also might have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now look at the next verse. I'm giving you secrets. 1 John 1 and 4. And these things write we unto you, that your joy might be full. So joy comes from having fellowship with the Father, with the Son, with the Holy Ghost, and fellowship with people of like precious faith. How important is church? That's how important church is right there. Amen. Pastor Ricky. Now, joy comes from fellowship. No wonder the devil wants to keep everybody busy. And no wonder he wants to keep you and keep me out of church. Amen. See, if he can keep you out of church and out of fellowship with the body of Christ, he can steal your joy. We're a body, and every part of the body is important. We're connected to the true vine. The source of our joy is Jesus. We're the branches that produce that cluster. The wine is in the cluster. We would say, oh, no, the wine is in the bottle, not in God's economy. The wine is in the cluster. The Spirit of God flows through the cluster. That's why I enjoy preaching that sermon Sunday morning, because we got plugged in. Hallelujah. And the wine of the Holy Ghost was flowing. If anybody went out of here Sunday and they weren't full of joy, I tell you what, they're missing something deep, because the wine was flowing, and it's the Holy Ghost. Let us stand. Say it with me, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That means you can have all of it you want. Hallelujah. Pastor Ricky.
I have found his grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. Joy unspeakable. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Full of glory. Yet been told. Sing that again. It is joy unspeakable and